Never know from the day, the morning we wake up to the, go to bed, amen. So it'd be a good idea just to be always serving God, amen. Had a nice visitor today. My buddy, Chaplain Racy stopped in. He'd moved down to Texas 2 years ago, down building camps and things, and, good to see my friend. Always good to have some friends in life, amen. You only get a few of them, so you better treat them really good, amen. Friends are not what you can use. Friends are what you can help. That's a true friend. True friends are people that we want to help. We want to love. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Psalm 146, beginning at verse 5. Happy is he that hath both, that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein, is which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoner. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. And the Lord loveth the loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the stranger. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Father, I pray tonight we'd be a blessing and help to our folks. And just remember that we ought to have a discerning spirit, that we do trust in you. And, Lord, that we would have a song in our heart to give to you and to give to others. And, Lord, it is a wonderful thing to think that we're saved and that we have a home in heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We discussed the misplaced trust the psalmist described. People put their trust in men. People put their trust in politics. People put their trust in, the children of Israel. They're so afraid that they're going to be taken over by the Syrian, and so they hired the Egyptians, and of course all the Egyptian did was take their money and run. Hasn't changed a bit, has it? It was God who saved Hezekiah and all the people, children of Israel. And David reminded us that in these first four verses. Now he says, we got a song. Verse 5. Happy is he that hath the Lord, hath God. And that God there is El, E-L. And anytime you see El, it means God. Elijah, Elisha, the El's, that means God. And the El of Jacob, for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So the name El denotes God, in all his strength, in all his power, God the Almighty. When God created the heavens and the earth, remember the Bible said in the beginning, God, that was Elohim, El, Elohim. He is the mighty strength and the power, the Almighty God. The psalmist describes him here as the God of Jacob. He is the God who met Jacob at Bethel when he was a fugitive from his brother Esau, running from him. And when he deserved nothing but God's judgment for his sin and his unprincipled behavior, he was Jacob was called the trickster. He was the conniver. Always conniving. This morning, listening to the Bible, and he was, he got his first wife, and then his second wife he got, and then he got some concubines along with it, you know. And he said, "I'm leaving." And his father-in-law said, "No, you're not leaving yet." He said, "Okay." He said, "I've worked 7 years for your first daughter and 7 years for your second daughter." And he said, "I paid my." He said, "No, you got to work some more." So he said, "Okay, I'll tell you what." He said, "You let me have all the ring straight cattle. You remember that? And somehow, out of some way, out of, I asked my dad, how in the world that happened? My dad went to Michigan State University and animal husbandry and stuff, and he said, I don't know, but it's said that certain ones bred the certain cattle, and all of them had ring stripes, or they had stripes on them, amen. And so it's an amazing thing, and his father-in-law wasn't too impressed about old Laban. Now, Jacob was going to pin his hopes on his uncle Laban, in whom instead there was no hope. And God met him at Bethel. Listen to this. God met him at Bethel and promised him everything. God met Jacob at Bethel and promised him everything. That is the kind of God he is. With El, the God of Jacob, is whom to trust. No wonder we all should be happy. No wonder we should be happy. We have a God. We have a God, the El, the Almighty, the most powerful, the one and only. And he said, I'll make you happy. Just trust me, amen. I was talking to Chaplain Racy today, and he said, I've done a lot of things lately, and he says, most of it's been by faith. He said, I've been building for this church organization. And he said, they give me siphon. That means that they give you money to fill your gas, your car up with gas, and a little bit of food. But he says, there's really no salary to it. But he says, I've been doing this so long, I just found out that all I have to do is trust God. And I'm happy. I'm happy. I just trust God. I'm just going to trust him in my life. And I think of Haggai stirred up the people to get busy building the temple, using the plea similar to the psalmist, Haggai chapter 1, verse 9, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. So it's best to trust in God, amen. God will not let us look elsewhere for our help. Haggai sought to get the people to look to God. He said in Haggai chapter 2 in verse 6 and 7, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desires of all nations shall come. So he draws his attention to God. He draws attention to the strength of God. You can't fight against God. You're a fool if you think you can fight against God. You think you're gonna tell God what to do, and you've got better ideas than God? You're crazy. So he strengthens 6 and 7 here, verse 6 and 7. God has strength to create the universe. And he's illustrating this. I want you to know that he says that the God that we serve, strength the universe. I was reading a scripture today where I put down and where the Bible says that God measures. He measures. He weighs the mountains in his hand. I did that a couple times at camp. I get a great big rock, and I always have these little dudes that are, they think they're Superman. And so I give them a rock. And I say, hold that rock for me a little bit. And all of a sudden, you see them struggling. You see the veins popping out of their neck. And I'm afraid that they're going to get a hernia. But anyway, they won't put it down. They won't put it down. I said, man, that's heavy. No, that's not heavy. What are they doing? Huh? What are they doing? They're prideful. Man, if somebody give me a rock like that, hey, I'm going to drop it. That reminds me of a story. My two boys were working down in Lima, Montana, guiding these guys. A couple of them pretty heavy drinkers, and my boys, of course, teetotalers. They didn't have nothing to do with that. And these guys drank practically all night, just up and drinking all night. And so they told their boss, hey, we'll fix them. And the boss said, you just go ahead because I'm sick and tired of this. And so early in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, they wrangled up the horses. And then they made fried taters with a lot of grease. And sausages with a lot of grease. And they got them to eat. Oh, so it's going to be a long ride to get on. So they ate and ate and ate and ate, you know. And then they got on the horses, and they went around the camp six times. Just on the perimeter of the camp. People, those guys didn't know it. They had no idea. And then they took them out, and when they started walking, when they'd sit down, they'd put a rock in their backpack. And they put another rock in their backpack. And put another rock in their backpack. And when they got home at night, they went right to bed. You know, rocks are heavy. And God said, I weigh the mountains in my hands. I don't know about you, but every time I go down and I cast a rock, I look at a huge thing. I'm like, good night. That's just a haystack compared to the Rocky Mountains and the Alps, you know, up there in Bab, the Northern Rockies. Can you imagine God says, hey, I know how much it weighs. Well, he oughta. He made it. And all of that, he said, I know the stars in heaven. I know their count. I know them all by name. I can't even remember grandkids, amen. So, it's amazing, his strength. Look here, it says, God has the strength to create a universe which made heaven and earth, sea, and all therein. And boy, I like those all therein. I like that hook and catching some of them all therein, amen. And imagine the folly of trusting a puny man who we invite to trust in him instead of trusting God. Boy, there's a lot of people like that. Boy, they're trusting their friends. They trust these people instead of trusting God. Say, dear God, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know which way to go. You're going to have to help me in this thing. We have a God who can orbit galaxies. Boy, I've been watching some stuff on TV of the galaxies and things. It's incredible. It's incredible. It's amazing what you just Google and all of a sudden all this information just pops up, up on your computer. We have God who can orbit galaxies. We have a God who can move mountains with equal ease. We have a God who swirls the sea. Boy, he's swirling right now up there in North Carolina. And in their basins as though there were just a few pints of water in the pail. It's amazing what God can do. We have a God who can do the impossible. A God who can make gigantic empires out of nothing. When Louis Pasteur conducted his famous experiment to prove to his peers the law of biogenetics, and there was no life without an antecedent life, he had held up a sterile test tube and said, I beg life to appear. I implore it to rise from nothing. Life, however humble or minute, what do I get? He said, nothing! What do you get? Nothing! The Bible does not begin with a statement, in the beginning, nothing. It begins with a statement, in the beginning, God. That takes all the difference. Can you imagine God just speaking this world into existence? Incredible. When we pray, we are not addressing our prayers to an empty space, to nothing. We're addressing our prayers, the almighty, powerful strength of God. Not to an empty space. Just because he is invisible and inaudible does not mean that he is not there. He is there. He is there in omnipotent power and infinite love. And boy, I'm glad about that. He sees everything. He sees everything. He hears everything. He knows everything. I don't care. If you stub your toe, he knew it. If you got a little snivel, he knows it. He knows everything about you. In fact, he said, "I know your thoughts afar off." That means before you even think what you're about to think, he already done thunk it. If that's good English, nobody's good doctrine. Amen. Then two, we have a God with strength to control the universe. Look what it says in verse 7. Which exalteth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry, the Lord looseth the prisoner. God allows nothing to get out of hand. God controls heavenly bodies and human beings with equal ease. He can curb the power of princes. I want to tell you something. This is great. This is a great psalm for what America is going through in this election period. I don't know about you, I'm sick of it. I'm just tired of it. Hurry up, vote. I'm not going to vote for a baby killer, so you know who I'm going to vote for. And if you don't vote for that, I really worry about your Christianity. I really do. You ought to at least take a stand. God has given us a country that we have a right to our opinion, we have a right to our vote. And if you don't take it, I read this this Sunday morning, I said, old Will Rogers says, you don't live in America free. It costs you something, amen. You know, the protection we have, fire, if our house catches on fire, man, all we have to do is 911 and they're coming. Well, somebody's got to pay for that fire truck. Somebody's got to pay for those guys sleeping up those bunks. Somebody's got to pay for the tires. Somebody's got to pay for the water. On and on and on. So, we want that protection. We pay for that protection. Well, you ought to have a vote about it, amen. Don't you go sissying out on this thing now. Israel has reluctantly seen the fact demonstrated to the full. True, the Babylonians had sacked Jerusalem, burned the temple, reduced the walls to rubble, and deported all of their good people, but that was God's punishment for persistent apostasy and rebellion. And by the way, God's still in the business of judgment. God's still in the business of judgment. God's still in the business of taking care of business. And you can say what you want. You say, oh, Pastor, nothing ever happened to me. Well, first of all, I'd worry if I was saved or not. Secondly, it's coming. Payday someday. The boat's coming in. It may be late, but it's coming in. Maybe you thought it was late, but there's all different things that God's dealing with to the time where he's going to deal with you. I say there's an airplane. I was on an airplane one time. This guy sitting next to me, he's nervous, sweating. I said, "Man, what's wrong with you?" I said, "Are you sick?" He said, "No." "I'm so scared to fly." I said, "What are you scared to fly?" Oh, he said, "Might crash." I said, "Man, I ain't gonna crash. I'm a preacher." He said, "Yeah." And I wanted to talk to him about Jesus, so I said, "Shame on me." But what if it's your time and not mine? Guess what? He got nervous again. God works mysteriously. Can you just think back how God brought your spouse to you, or how that you came and found your spouse? I always say this to Marcia. I say to Marcia, how in the world did a little old farm boy from Michigan come out to Minnesota and find such a beautiful little preacher's daughter? How'd that ever happen? Well, how'd that happen, Marcia? That's her answer every time. I don't know. Are you glad it happened? Yeah. Oh, glad. Yeah. Praise the Lord. All right. But you know, how in the world? You know, my mom goes to the ladies' meeting in Lansing, Michigan, the same church I got saved at when I was 14. And she heard Dr. Cederholm preach. And he was the president of Pillsbury Bible College that day. And he said this. He said, "Why don't you send your boys to our college? We got intercollegiate football." That's all he needed to say. My mama came home and said, "Son, I found just the college for you." I'd never heard of Pillsbury. I thought that was a doughboy or something. But anyway, and found out it was. But anyway, George Pillsbury, who owned Pillsbury Milling Company, he's the one that started it. It was a military academy for high school kids, guys. But little did I know that my mom went to a ladies' meeting so that I can meet my wife someday. Boy, I'm glad she went to that meeting. Woo-hoo! I'm sure glad. I'm glad that I married Marcia because Marcia knew Dr. Dion. And some of you that got saved because I'm here, you ought to shout glory hallelujah because of God's providence who... Dick Dion was a coach, was a ref at Pillsbury. He refed our football game. Almost threw me out of one game. And He pastored the same church I pastored out in South Dakota. Marcia's dad pastored 20 miles in White, South Dakota from there. And they were friends, and so we became friends. And he called me and said, "Hey, you spent enough time in that old church down there." He says, "Man, I know about that church." He said, "Come on out in Montana and get this church started." I am glad that God works in mysterious ways. So, as we as Christians, we must trust God. There's some things that are going to happen in our lives. And we're like, "Whoa, what was that?" You ever have that happen in your life? Are you kidding me? There are amazing things that happen in our lives, and all of that, all things work together for good to them. I love God and them called according to His purpose. If the Jews had abided by the terms of God's covenant, no invaders could have crossed that frontier. But God knew where to draw the line with that empire. And He said, "Listen, you keep going, you quit messing with my Sabbath, you quit messing with these idols, and I'll tell you, I'm going to take care of you. You're going to be punished." Decades before the first Medo-Persian storm troops donned their armor and invaded Chaldees, God had said, "Yet 70 years and Babylon shall be overthrown." He told us 7 years in advance. God knew how to control the Persians too. When He wanted His temple rebuilt, He had Cyrus ready to issue a decree. Nor could any Persian potentate, no matter how powerful he looked, prevent that temple from being built. God has people in place to do His work. Aren't you glad about that? The nations, the Bible says, are dropping the bucket to God. Something worth thinking about in the world menace of superpowers and military arsenals. I wasn't too impressed with North Korea the other day, were you? So then, the psalmist sets before us a contrast. Misplaced trust and meaningful trust. And urges us to put our trust in God. Oh, my brothers and sisters, you could get a lot of trouble by putting your trust in other men. I've seen a lot of guys go into business with other men. First of all, the Bible says you should not go into business with an ungodly man. Say it in the Bible. God has a pretty good reason. Put some of that stuff in there, amen? Or all of it. We're given three final glimpses of God. We are shown the Lord opened the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. God is not preoccupied with such concerns as creating nebulous and curbing nations to be too busy for us. Does He care if I'm sick? Yes. Yes, He cares if I'm sick. He cares that Mrs. Robinson's not feeling well. He cares about that. He cares that Brother Holloman is so upset with these seizures. He cares about you that are carrying your babies. He cares about you taking care of these children at home. He cares about the lack of milk and the even the lack of toilet paper. He cares about everything that goes on in your house and your life. You say, "Well, that's kind of crude." No, I'm telling you, God cares about you. And He cares about everything that goes on in your heart and your life. He cares about that malady that seems to be in your body that you're not sure what it is. Does it matter if I'm hungry? Of course. His wisdom and power are not divorced from His compassion and love. When Jesus Christ showed God when He was out in that desert place and they're hungry, they've been out there 2-3 days, and God's worried about them. He said, "All right, who's got some food?" And He took that food and broke it into many, many pieces, fed the 5,000, fed the 4,000. You know, God loves His people. That was demonstrated in the life of the Lord who came to seek and to save that which was lost. He also came to heal the sick, raise the dead, and above all to die, that heaven's gate might be opened of all humankind. This morning as I was praying, I was in awe to think that God would love me so much. And even all the stupid stuff and the filth still love me and says, if you just ask, I'll save you. If you just ask. We have a God that of infinite mercy. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the stranger. May I say that word is alien. He reliveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. We are living in a lawless world today. Without a question. Where sin and death reign. All too often wickedness and injustice, oppression and crime have their way so that it is not easy to trace God's overruling providence. It's kind of hard. We have to trust Him. There's no other way, place to go. In the end, however, right always triumphs. And wrong reaps the due reward of its deeds. The final settling of mankind's moral accounts is not always in our history books. The fact remains that God's love, and He loves the righteous and turns the way of the wicked upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. The last stanza of the psalm transports the feeble Jewish remnant, clapping their hands and singing at the dedication of the new temple. From the setting of the own day and age, and set them down at the millennial age in Zion, the beautiful city of God. Oh my, it's going to be a powerful thing. Amen. We see them amid scenes of splendor in the courtyards of the temple of which the exiled prophet Ezekiel wrote, a temple far more splendid than Solomon's. You know, it's an incredible thing what it's going to be like in heaven. How do you explain heaven? Have you ever tried to explain heaven? Well, yeah, I got gold streaks. I'm going to put my wool socks on, take off running. What's that? That's shear sliding down them golden streets in his wool socks. Amen. Who's that? That's Clyde following him. Who's that, Tucker? Amen. What was that? Oh, that was Charles. He's riding his Harley up there. Amen. It's going to be a wild time. He said, that'll never happen. Who says it's not going to? I don't know. Somebody said, well, all the animals are not going to be there. Why wouldn't God give us animals? We love animals. How many got a favorite dog? Raise your hand. How many got a dog you like to kill? Raise your hand. But anyway. God created, when He created the heavens and the earth, the first thing He did was create the fish, follow the air, then all the creeping animals, cattle after their kind. Now, why wouldn't He give us animals? The Bible said, Paul said, I have not seen nor ear heard the things. And you know what? That wasn't even the new heaven. That's the heaven is now. Dear God, the Lord said, I'm going to go create a new heaven. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to create in my Father's house many mansions. If we're not so told you, I go to prepare a place. God preparing a place. How long did God prepare a place for us? 6 days. God's been up there 2,000 years already and more. Wow! Oh, you girls, you're going to finally get that beautiful, beautiful house. Amen, that you always wanted. Amen. It's going to be good. You know what's even good? Don't need wheelchairs up there. Won't have to have pads. Won't have to have washing machines and dryers. Won't have to have walkers. Won't have to go to the eye doctor. Won't have to have insulin. All kinds of pills that we all try to take to keep us motivating. Cancer's gone. Never to worry about it again. Going to get our hair back. Our color. Someone's going to get our color. Someone's going to get our hair. Amen. It's going to be a good day. We're going to have the mind of Christ. And what's really neat is the Bible says the former things are going to be passed away. All the things that happen on the earth, this old earth, is going to be destroyed, and there will not be a trace of the things that happened. Ain't no more boneyards. Ain't no more the hospitals. No more rest homes. No more hospice. No more operating rooms. Praise the Lord. The psalmist urges the temple recently built by the repudiated minority of Jews who came back to that desolate city, surrounded by jealous foes, was a reminder that God is still on the throne and that His purposes can never fail. I don't care what you say. You can say whatever you want, but I'm going to tell you something. When God makes things, He makes them good. He makes them real good. In fact, when He finished the creation, He said, it's very good. And so some of us that have some things deteriorating on us are going to be fixed with a brand new body. Look out, heaven. Brand new body. Some of you guys scare me. Have a brand new body. Keep up with each other. Amen. Amazing. So I hope you'll use this Psalm 146 as a praise psalm. Praising the Lord for what He's given to us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. I get excited about the next Psalm, Psalm 147. Praise ye, Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken heart. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars and calleth them all by their names.
Yeah.
Great is our Lord, and the great power, His understanding is infinite. In other words, you know, we're finite, but He's infinite. There's no way of figuring it out. All right, let's pray. Father, thank You for tonight. Lord, I look so forward to heaven. Lord, I know that we still got a lot to do here. We got a lot of people to tell about You. Dear God, help us as we go about that we would not fail, but we would keep serving You in a great and holy way. Lord, help us to be faithful to Your church. Help us to be faithful to Your work. In Jesus' name, amen. All